Today is Sunday, November 8th, 2020, and this...
Stop number two on our unconventional road trip. We're heading to Las Vegas, but you won't find us anywhere near a casino.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 761.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. What up?
Not much.
All right. Well,
then how are you?
I'm fine.
Let's talk about Vegas.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Seems like a good thing to do this weekend. So before we jump into the usual stuff, I have a quick correction from last week.
Mm-hmm.
I inadvertently referred to the owner of Cosmopolitan as Black Rock. It is in
actual...
It's going to be one of those shows.
Yeah, it is in actuality Black Stone.
Stone, rock.
Yeah, for future reference, if I, when I inevitably refer to the company as Black Quartz or Black Pebble or Black, any of the things that sound like rock, I'm actually meaning Black Stone.
Okay.
Okay. This is what happens when I speak without notes. All right. Before we jump into this week's news, we want to remind you that this podcast is listener supported by awesome patrons over at patreon.com, including a couple new additions to our patron family. I hate when people call it a family.
Oh,
it's not a family. We appreciate you though anyway. John and Margaret Santa Rosa and Sam Olson, thank you for joining us on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show on an ongoing basis, you can visit patreon.com/500. We'll throw some bonus content your way every so often as our way of saying thank you, and we do appreciate all the support from our patrons. All right. A lot of news this week. Let's start with something we've been talking about quite a bit lately, and that is the idea that with the slowest period of the year for Vegas tourism coming up in December, we might start seeing some holiday season shutdowns, and indeed that is happening. MGM Resorts announced this week that they are going to be shutting down Park MGM, the hotel operations, midweek beginning on November 9th through at least the holiday season. So they're gonna keep most of the amenities open.
Mm-hmm.
You still gamble, still eat,
yep,
still drink at their bars. Pool's still going to be open.
Just can't stay there.
Just can't stay there.
Go there during the week.
They're going to be closing at noon on Mondays, reopening at noon on Thursdays, and this is beginning, what is that, tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow.
Yep.
So that is the scoop. Nomad, however, which is a hotel within a hotel concept at Park MGM, will remain open. So if you want to have one of the nicer rooms, mm-hmm, Nomad is still there. And in fact, one of our listeners reported on Facebook that his reservation at Park MGM was moved to Nomad.
Upgrade. Major upgrade.
Score. So I figured Park MGM, they would maybe move him to New York or something. But nope, he got moved to Nomad. So good deal for people who had weekday reservations during that period of time. So there you go. No word, as I mentioned, on how long the midweek hotel shutdown will last, and there is a reasonable chance that other MGM properties and non-MGM
properties
will follow suit. Yeah. And it might not just be hotels. It might be some other amenities. In fact, we'll talk about one in a minute that may be related to this. We've got a few closures to talk about this week. The other one, and this is not a temporary closure, this appears to be a permanent closure. According to poker website Card Chats, three MGM Resorts poker rooms that were temporarily shut down are now permanently shut down. They are gone.
Hmm.
Mandalay Bay, Excalibur, and the Mirage. And the Mirage is the one that surprises me the most. Like, that's
yeah.
I don't know. That just seems like a bigger deal,
because mm-hmm,
the Mirage poker room was kind of a thing. I mean, before, you know, before some of their newer, fancier poker rooms, that was kind of a big deal. So anyway, those have gone from temporary to permanent, and there are some things. So there are like some, I don't know that much about poker, but like progressive type jackpots that they have to disperse of.
Oh,
they're doing that through a series of free play tournaments at MGM Grand, I believe. So anyway, that's how this got on people's radar that, oh, they're not going to be reopening anytime soon because they're dispersing of these jackpots, which they need to do. So anyway, there you go. You're going to have to seek your poker playing action elsewhere. According to Vegas Changes, the Caesars Palace food court is all boarded up. So some sort of renovation is going on there. No word on how significant the renovations are, but if it's boarded up, it seems like it's going to be fairly significant. Either that or they just aren't planning on using it anytime soon, and that was their solution. Although I suspect because they... So the pizza place is still open.
Okay.
They have a temporary... Or they have, you know, enough space there where there's that. Then they also opened this makeshift shanty-looking Starbucks.
Yes, that amuses me.
Temporary location on the steps of... the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Which, of course, Coliseum's not being used for anything, so
right. It's not... Might as well use the space for something that makes money.
Yeah, nobody's trying to get in there. You can block the doors. Nobody gives a shit.
And if you don't want to walk all the way to Mirage for your Starbucks, there you go.
There you go. You got an option there. So,
and they probably have coffee options in the forum shops, too.
Oh, they've got coffee options at all kinds of places. Giada's got her place. They've got that little Guy Sibois brioche or whatever it was thing that we talked about a couple weeks ago. So there are options, but... people who like Starbucks want that fucking Starbucks. So that is still there. As far as what is happening with the food court stuff, we will see once the walls come down eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I know that like there had been reports maybe a month or so ago on the Facebook group that Earl of Sandwich, that location, like the signage and stuff was still up, but the space was being used by the pizza place.
Weird.
Yeah. So... maybe they're just getting rid of stuff that's not really open anymore, shuffling some spaces. I don't know.
Or I hope they keep the donut place, but I alone am not enough to keep the donut place going.
The once ever you've gone there isn't enough to keep it flourishing.
Yeah, it was delicious, though.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a damn donut.
Mm-hmm.
A reopening is on the board. Let's check the big board for hotels. We have a reopening, and it is Rio. Not yet, but it's coming soon.
Hooray.
I guess. I mean, it's a good sign if nothing else. But Caesars Entertainment has announced during a recent quarterly conference call that Rio will reopen by the end of the year. This surprises me. I thought it might be a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't imagine there's a ton of demand for Rio right now.
Yeah, especially with Palms being...
I don't know. Of course, Caesars Entertainment sold that property earlier in the year, but they are continuing to operate it under contract for the new owner for at least a couple years. So that's the other thing, too. I suppose that contractual obligation may weigh into the decision in one way or another. I thought maybe that would be the reason it would be pushed off farther, but I don't know.
Huh.
So there you go. Maybe Caesars is under some obligation to have that open if possible. When the new year starts. So there you go. No date yet, but if you're a big fan of Rio, gear up.
I used to enjoy Rio.
I know. It's a sad shell of itself now.
Yeah.
Here's something interesting. We've been discussing the return of Las Vegas shows. We've had a lot of familiar names that we've talked about. Your Piffs, your Tape Faces, your Carrot Tops. What a weird thing. What a weird snapshot of the world that those are things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can talk about Tape Face, Piff, and Carrot Top unironically in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is something new, however. There is an actual new show, not a comeback, not a reopening, but a new show that is opening. So there you go. There's a spark of something happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening at Venetian, and it's a short-term show. It's a holiday show. Maybe it was already in the works, and they decided, you know what? Why not? They're going to open it. It's called This Is Christmas. It features notables. No
notables.
Comment on notables. Some reality show people. I'm just scanning the... I recognize one of the names.
Me too.
I recognize two of the names, but I'm not really... I don't watch a lot of this stuff, and I'm not familiar with some of these. Okay, American Idol Season 2. We were still watching...
We were watching it, but I don't remember this guy.
Lou Gazzara?
I'm sure if I like saw a clip or something, I'd be like, oh yeah, that guy.
Perhaps. Broadway star Randall Keith. Not really a big Broadway guy, so I don't know who that is. Las Vegas performer, Jacqueline McSpadden.
Okay. Or is it McSpadden?
McSpadden, master magician.
I could be wrong. You could be wrong. Who knows?
I don't necessarily want to know what qualifies one as a master magician, but it is Ben Stone in this case. Another American Idol. This is the one I recognize.
Me too.
Season 3 finalist Jasmine Trias. She had another Vegas show, didn't she?
Yeah, wasn't it like
Society 7?
Yeah, was that at O'Shea's?
No, it was at Flamingo, I think.
Oh, but the
maybe
it was
being at O'Shea's for a while.
It was being advertised at O'Shea's because I remember like stumbling drunkenly out of O'Shea's and being like, "Hey,
I know that name." American Idol season 5 semifinalist Laura Suzanne Wright. And then this is the other one I recognize just because he's done a bunch of stuff in Vegas. Director, producer, and performer Eric Jordan Young. So anyway, if you're a fan of any of those people or you just like Christmas, mm-hmm. you got an option of Venetian.
Or you just want to go see a show.
Here's why I think that, well, obviously it doesn't matter if it like is super popular because it's only going to be around a month anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll do okay because it's only running from November 27th to December 27th and they're only doing 4 shows a week. Fridays and Saturdays, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Tickets are a little bit much, but you know, when you can only sell
mm-hmm.
a fraction of the usual seats, you kind of have to make sure that the price point is reasonable to cover costs. They started $89 all in up to $122. And there's a seating chart. You can see how they're clustering seats.
Mm-hmm.
And they're recommending that if people are planning on going with friends, that they book all their tickets together so that they indeed are seated together.
Right.
But it looks like the spacing is reasonable and
good.
They've got it figured out. So, and you know what? Maybe one of the things about this, too, is that doing this, opening this for, you know, having a 1 month show
mm-hmm.
gives them a chance to
figure some stuff out.
Yeah. See if the seating configuration and if they have to move people because of different group sizes and stuff,
mm-hmm.
they're going to get those things figured out during a time where there's not a lot of pressure. So yeah, probably a smart move.
Mm-hmm.
So that is happening over at Venetian.
Maybe this will pave the way for more shows returning.
Yep. And that's a good thing.
Yes.
All right, there's a new restaurant concept. You alerted me to this, and I appreciate that because I don't know that I would have seen it already if you hadn't. A new restaurant concept coming to downtown Las Vegas. So we've discussed several times in recent years the former Ferguson Motel renovated redevelopment structure thing.
Mm-hmm.
there have been a couple restaurants there.
And
there's a courtyard and there's some other shops and stuff. But anyway, we haven't made it down there yet.
We haven't, even though we've heard good things about the restaurants, which are probably now closed.
Yeah, they're at least in flux. And I'm wondering if one of those spaces is what's being used for this. It is called Vegas Test Kitchen. It's going to be opening sometime in November. And they're going to use this space for a rotation of restaurants. They're going to have pop-up concepts. The way that it looks to me on the website is that they're going to have multiple things happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have one that's kind of a resident for a while and then others that maybe have sporadic schedules throughout the week or are only open certain days. Still a little bit vague.
Yeah.
But I like the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to use this as an opportunity for Vegas chefs to test different concepts, test different menus, and they might see, you know, be able to see what works, and that may eventually lead to them taking that elsewhere as a permanent or you know, more permanent mm-hmm. spot. So that's kind of a cool thing. First up is a restaurant called Slurp Society. It will be a ramen joint. I like that name. It'll be a ramen joint from Lanny Chin, who most recently was with Green Street Kitchen at Palms, ooh, which is not, which, that's been raved about.
That's so been, yeah.
We intended to get over there and we didn't, and now it's closed.
Right.
So. Anyway, there's that. But then they have other pop-up vendors listed on the website, including a Bulgarian street food restaurant. I'm not sure if the pie place is like full-size pies or mini pies. It's called Poppin' Pies.
Yes, please.
I'm guessing they're mini pies, but
I like pies.
I'm a fan of pies of many natures. Pizza, sushi, bagels, all those are all from different vendors, and they're trying different things. So if you want to check it out, if you're interested in that, VegasTestKitchen.com. If you're not familiar, Ferguson is on Fremont Street, down kind of in the Atomic Liquors general mm-hmm. area. So there you go. We have transportation news this week. Always exciting.
Mm-hmm.
One of those high-speed trains that they're planning on building from California to Las Vegas is now delayed.
Again.
For the 450th time over the last 20 years. This one is the Victorville, California to Las Vegas high-speed train called Brightline West. It used to be called Express West. According to the Las Vegas Sun, the Funding, which is being done through a bond sale, is on hold due to the current economic conditions. Uncertainty was the specific word they used.
Hmm.
So we can chalk this one up to extreme fuckery, apparently.
Yes.
It was supposed to start running by 2022. I imagine that this will push that back. And there, of course, is another high-speed train that is also in development that is apparently being built right now. So I think this is like the Ferris wheel situation where one of them is going to happen.
One of them is going to prevail.
At this point, it's looking like this one may not because of the delays, but I don't know. We'll see. All right, we have some updates to Circa. We've been talking about Circa a lot, of course, because it just opened. That's how things work. And as with any new resort opening, there are, shortly after opening, some adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Might be some changes in restaurant hours, might be some things shutting down, might be some additions. After just whatever it's been, a week and a half, there are already some changes, and these have to do with the sportsbook and apparently stadium swim. And here's what happened this week. Some people who had some seat reservations at the sportsbook received refunds. And they're like, what the hell? Why am I getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Have they canceled my reservation? They then received an email, and one of our Facebook group folks, Eli, posted a copy of the email he received explaining why they received the refund. And it's not all bad. They did not cancel the reservation, which is great. They're just refunding the money, and here's the deal. After opening weekend, we have learned that the volumes of customers we are seeing are not conducive to food and beverage minimums in the north and south stands. So the fee that they were charging for the seat reservation could be applied to food and beverage.
Yep.
They're realizing that their service levels weren't going to work well. They would, I guess, probably have to have way more servers to make that work out well. We've refunded your deposit for your seats as we did not feel we would be adequately able to provide you with consistent enough food and drink service to be close to your minimum spend. We will still reserve the seat for you. So that's cool. They still have the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And there will no longer be any food and beverage minimum associated with your seat. As an apology for the inconvenience, we are offering 3 complimentary beverage tickets per seat.
Nice.
To be redeemed at select bars at Circa. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So actually, it ends up being a good deal. They still have their seat. They're not paying for it, and they get free drinks.
Yep.
Bitching.
And then if they want to order extra food and beverage, they can.
Yep. Now, I'm wondering if this is a similar situation that's happening at Stadium Swim, because I've been keeping an eye on things there, and I noticed that...
You're still looking at that camera every day.
I'm looking at the camera, but I've also been looking at like reservation, how much stuff costs. I'm just curious about it. And I noticed that the lounge chairs are now showing as unavailable for all a bunch of dates that I checked. So I'm assuming it's all the time. So that I'm wondering if it's a similar thing where they decided, because that was a deal where it was like $25 for a lounge chair, and that was also a food and beverage credit. Perhaps they've decided to change the way they're handling that. So just be aware, you might not be able to reserve those things. There was something, and I'm not sure if this was misinformation we had at the beginning or if this is a change, but we've had some reports that the cover charge to get into the pool, which is like $10, does not include food and beverage.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure, like I said, the early reports that I saw were
said
that it was.
Yeah.
That is either a change or I had false information to begin with. So I wanted to make sure and mention that as well. These are pretty normal growing pains. We've seen it at other resorts before, and we'll continue to see it for a while, making adjustments and figuring out what works. Again, one of the things about this is it is, even though they're not calling it a soft opening, which we love that phrase.
Yes, we do.
It kind of is, because the hotel operations aren't open yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because we're getting into the slower season and because of the pandemic and all that, this gives them a chance to figure shit out without... causing too much chaos among guests, which is a good thing, I guess.
But if you are going to visit and you had planned on doing something, you might want to check the website just to make sure, which we would recommend anyway in these times of extreme fuckery, but especially with the new resort.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got a trip coming up, keep an eye on things, you know, even if you kind of verified that something was happening, these things are changing often and quickly. So. But it's good that they got the communication out about the cancellation on seats and stuff like that. So, so there you go. Also, one other thing. There was an article in Gaming Today a week ago, indicating that the new Players Club at Circa the D Golden Gate will be doing some tier matching in early 2021. I know a lot of people were wondering about that.
Nice.
So, as far as what the details are, which casinos mm-hmm. they will match tiers for. That all remains to be seen, but keep an eye out for that in January.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Did you see this creepy as fuck thing at Wynn?
Yes, I did. What is that?
Wynn Las Vegas tweeted out a video for a weird looking little robot dog they're referring to as their fashion hound. It hangs out in Wynn Plaza, and according to the tweet, it dances. Okay, I'm okay with a dancing robot dog, I guess. And hands out fashion advice and tells jokes.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if it's like, I want it to be insult comic. Like, the commenting on fashion is tied into the jokes. Like, I mean, I would be a victim. They would be making mm-hmm. fun of my shoes. Did you get a free bowl of soup with that hat? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
That might make the creepy little robot dog enjoyable if mm-hmm. it was actually, you know, going full Rickles on people. I doubt that it's probably that pointed, but...
Yeah. They come up with some interesting stuff at Wynn.
They're trying.
Yeah.
They're trying
but
to
But I
do...
mean, like, you know, the Lake of Dreams stuff yeah, and this. And...
They're not afraid of doing something a little weird. Yeah. But when I saw it, I'm like, oh, this is not the time for messing around with robot dogs. Something is going to go very, very wrong in 2020 with the robot dog, and suddenly it's going to lift its leg and pee battery acid on somebody or something just that we do not need.
Or someone from Philly is just going to come in and destroy it.
Something. I don't know. So anyway.
No insults to Philly.
No.
I'm just saying they've destroyed robots in the past.
It has been done. Wynn Plaza is the place to look for that. Seek it out. If you happen to see it and have thoughts on it, we'd love a firsthand review of that. 702-866-9494. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Another thing we've been talking about a lot lately is that table game limits have typically increased as a result of the pandemic and having reduced seating at the tables. Some good news for low-limit gamblers. There is one option downtown. Downtown Grand is apparently, no, I like this. They try a lot of things and a lot of them don't last, but I like they're seeing a niche and giving it a shot. Now, as with a lot of their previous things, they don't always last long. So mm-hmm. if you're into it, you
take
might not
advantage
have,
of it. Yeah,
you might not have a big window for it, but Downtown Grand is offering $1 blackjack. They're promoting that at least one table will be available between 11 a.m. and 3 a.m. daily. Now, of course, with reduced seating limits, what is that, like three or four people at a table?
Yeah.
It might not be easy to get on it, but mm-hmm. if you're looking for a low-limit game, other than, you can find dollar blackjack at every bar, but if you want to play in-person blackjack.
Yeah. Is it 3-2?
I don't know. I haven't seen that. I'm guessing probably not, but
yeah.
Anyway. Now, I was thinking about this, and I like the idea of it. Like, mm-hmm. oh, dollar blackjack, that's cool, but then I realized, I'm gambling low stake that low, like super low
right.
stakes doesn't do anything for me anymore.
Like quarter roulette. Yeah, although like, you usually have like a dollar minimum or something, but still.
Well, I'm not really a roulette player either, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean like, well, for me being a video poker player,
right.
Nickel video poker, I can't get into because I'm like, I mean, I even have trouble with quarter these days just because
yeah.
it's like the heart doesn't get beating at all. I don't feel like there's any sort of
risk reward.
If I hit a big hand, I want it to be an amount that I consider like rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm playing a lower thing. So if I'm playing like I'm just sitting there and I get, yes, you get the free drinks for playing dollar blackjack. And there's definitely a market for this.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, it has to be $5. And I don't really like playing blackjack all that much anyway.
Yeah.
But
I have to, if I'm with friends and we're all on a table, that's fun.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not just going to go play blackjack for blackjack's sake.
Yeah.
Especially right now. I don't want to like sit among strangers.
I don't enjoy the actual playing of the game enough to warrant playing at the dollar level. Like I'm not just in it for the love of the game.
Yeah.
There needs to be some potential that I might win a few bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, a dollar limit's not going to do it. No, I realize you can play at a dollar table and play higher if you want, but then what's the point of playing at a dollar table?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but this is good news for people who are looking for cheaper limits. There's not a lot of them right now.
Yeah, or if they just want to try playing blackjack and they've never played before and they don't want to risk a lot of money. And
that too.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm all in favor of them having low limit tables.
Yeah, they're just not...
Just not
a draw for you
anymore. They were at one point in my life,
mm-hmm.
but now just like, nah, I need something.
Yeah.
I need something to get the blood surging a little bit
yeah.
and the dollar's not doing it anymore. All right. We have a new... I feel like we need a brunch watch theme. We've been doing a lot of brunch. I'm not going to, but we've been having a lot of brunch updates. And I know, and this restaurant's been around for a long time. It's been very popular with a lot of our listeners. Border Grill at Mandalay Bay. They've introduced a reimagined brunch option.
And it's something I would probably try if it weren't at Mandalay Bay, because we just never don't get down there that often.
Yeah, and I don't know that this would be enough to get us there specifically for this. So anyway, it's only on Saturdays and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's unlimited small plates for $40 a person. They have a fairly small menu. It's 13 items.
But they all look delicious.
Yeah, as I was going through this, I'm like, oh, I would probably consider almost all of these.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'll go through, since it's only 13, I'll go through them. What the hell? Peruvian drunken French toast. Yes. Now, is that a racial slur to the French or to the Peruvians? Either way, somebody's going to be offended by drunken being associated with... Okay. Potato tacos. Not my first choice of tacos, but it's breakfast, so what the hell? I'll have a potato taco. Yucatan egg Benedict. Sure, why not? Chef's seasonal pancake. What?
I'm like all in. I don't even know what it is.
No, I know, but I want specifics on this.
It'll be like pumpkin in the fall and berries in the spring and maybe some apples in the fall.
They're not going to put any fucking melon on there, are they?
I hope not. No,
filler fruit on in their pancakes?
No. It'll be something substantial.
Anyway,
it'll
it's going to be
berries
good.
Or, yeah.
All right, seasonal pancakes. Steak and eggs, always a classic in Vegas. We got breakfast fries.
What does that mean?
There is a description, and I don't remember what it is, but at least it was a little more specific than your typical vague breakfast potatoes. Uh-huh. I can never say this word. You have to say it.
Chilaquiles.
Thank you.
And I probably pronounced it wrong.
That's close enough. Closer than I would have gotten. Plantain empanadas. I'll go with that. Green corn tamales. Biscuits and gravy.
Yes.
Avocado salmon toast. Sounds good. Peruvian shrimp and grits.
Also yes.
Grits suck.
Oh, I've had some good shrimp and grits though.
I've never had good. I've only tried grits a couple times, and
be like buttery and delicious.
We're in the Northland, so it's not a big thing here. But the couple times I've tried them, I've been like, this is just mushy bullshit.
If they do them right, they're wonderful.
Okay, I haven't had them right. I need somebody to tell. Well, no, I don't want to be flooded with grit recommendations because they're not going to do any good. But
no,
I need like you who have had more experience with grits than I have, having some sort of southern
experience with grits,
southern heritage in your life, having lived in the South in the past. To at some point, like if we're at a buffet and you go, oh, I tried the grits; these are actually good. Then I will move in and try them. But I'm not going to go out of my way just because somebody tells me, oh, they're excellent at so and so. Yeah. So it has to be like an on-the-spot experience that we're having.
Okay.
In other words, I won't be having grits anytime in the near future.
Right.
And Baja Ceviche Tostadita. All right. That's a good-sounding little list of options over there for $40. Now, with these kind of buffets, all-you-can-eat options, not really a buffet, but...
small plates delivered to you.
Yes. Now, the biggest concern there is the... pacing at which it's going to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's brunch, I'm extra concerned. Is it going to be, well, you can only order one thing at a time. I'm sure it's more than one, but you can only order two things at a time and you have to have a clean plate before you can even think about anything else. Are you going to be sitting there for long periods of time waiting for your next round?
You're concerned that you're going to be at brunch for 3 hours.
More than 45 minutes is a problem. But I suspect that might be the case when you're waiting for things to be delivered to you.
What restaurants are acceptable to be at more than 45 minutes?
Mm. No.
Wait. I don't want to be rushed. Like if there are courses.
If you're doing one of those like 13 course jobbies. Yeah, you're not going to want that delivered in rapid speed, but.
What about like a steakhouse where you've got your salad or soup or whatever, and then you've got your main, and then you've got your dessert, and you want a little time to digest in between?
I'll give you an hour 10 in that. They can move those along quickly. We've had like Hugo's, we've been in and out of there in a reasonable amount, not 45 minutes probably, but probably just over an hour.
Okay.
I don't
like to linger at meals.
Oh, I've been at some steakhouse dinners that have, there's been some long lulls between the salad and the, and it's when they're with, it's been business stuff. It's been when they're with large groups and stuff. Oh, fucking tedious.
And then you're, and then it's a business dinner, so it's not like super comfortable anyway.
Oh, I didn't
really
want to be there that much anyway. And the food was really good, but I'm like, let's pick it up. And then of course somebody's like, yeah, let's order a couple desserts for, great, now we're going to be here another 45 minutes. So anyway, in answer to your question, that's my answer to your question. Yeah. All right, that's it for news. Let's do one of these. Do you
remember? I don't remember fucking anything, man.
June 2009, show 215. We're talking about a restaurant at the Miracle Mile Planet Hollywood complex. Currently, it is Cabo Wabo Cantina. That is what it has been for more than 10 years. And that's a really good space.
Yeah.
They've got that patio overlooking the strip. You can sit there and mock people walking by below you, silently, hopefully, not to their faces. That previously was Trader Vic's, a tiki bar. We never made it there, did we?
I thought we did. I thought that was the place where we sat one day on the railing having drinks and playing Boobs or Foobs.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe that was before it was Cabo.
I think it was. Yeah.
All right. I had forgotten about that. Thank you for bringing up that memory and that fun game.
You're welcome.
So yeah, in June 2009, it was a couple weeks from shutting down. And then it became Trader Vic's right after that. Now, it was kind of, they were kind of trying to do a little too much with the Trader Vic's space, I think. Mm-hmm. That's a big space. It's two levels. And they had like the bar and restaurant, but then they tried to do like a nightclub thing upstairs. Yeah. And I think the nightclub thing may have not been the greatest idea. But anyway, it's been Cabo Wabo ever since.
Yeah, if they'd done a little more like tiki type stuff throughout the whole space, I think it could have been...
Yeah. Or just focused on, maybe not had the upstairs.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does Cabo have the upstairs space?
I don't even know.
I haven't been up there. No, a couple years before this, Cabo Wabo Cantina was rumored to be heading towards Neonopolis.
Thank God it didn't.
I think they got the better end of the deal with the current location.
Yeah.
If it had opened at Neonopolis instead of here, it would not still be open.
No, it would not have. Neonopolis, so, where things go to die.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. That's our look back in Las Vegas podcast history. What fun. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to hold off on phone calls this week. We'll probably get caught up next week. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up here?
Nope.
All right, well, thank you for joining us as always. 500bymidnight.com is the website. If you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, you can send them to 500@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, we love hearing from you by voicemail at 702-866-9494 with your experiences, your reviews, your observations, drunken ramblings sometimes. We'll take them all.
Sure.
All right. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We will be back soon with another show. And until then, have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.